I bring you grace and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In Jesus' name, dear fellow redeemed, do you ever wonder if you are where you're supposed to be? If your life is what it's supposed to be? As you look back on 2015 and you see what's happened or what hasn't happened, and as you look ahead to the year to come, do you feel like you are where you're supposed to be in your life? It's something we all ask ourselves. It's something we wonder about. We want to get organized. We want to get things together and make sure that when we're doing what we're doing, we're confident that it's what we're supposed to be doing. We might wonder the same of Jesus. As Mary and Joseph are doing what they're supposed to be doing, Jesus seems to not be doing what he's supposed to be doing. Mary and Joseph come to Jerusalem every year to visit the Passover festival, to observe the custom. It is their custom to go every year, go to church, and come home. And they've done the same thing this year. They've gone to Jerusalem. They've traveled with their families to observe this one-time-a-year festival. And now they're heading out. They're leaving with the caravan full of friends and relatives and countrymen, and they're making their way back to their normal daily life. They're right where they're supposed to be. But where is Jesus? Jesus isn't with them, and it seems that Jesus is just not where he's supposed to be. He's not where they expect him to be, and not where any of us might have expected him to be. And yet, as we begin to search this out, we find out what Jesus is doing and why he's doing it, we learn he's right where he's supposed to be. And as we watch Jesus being where he's supposed to be, it brings us to where we're supposed to be, too. He begins by coming to the temple, and we find him sitting at the feet of his teachers. When we set out to accomplish a goal, we want to know that we're being productive. In fact, there's books written about this, and I'm reading one right now about getting organized. And the subtitle reads, "The Art of Stress-Free Productivity." We want to know when we're doing something that we're doing what we're supposed to be doing, and our mind isn't going somewhere else. And yet, how often isn't that what happens? When we look for productivity, we want to be sure we can see some results. So what does it look like to be productive? As a pastor, I try to imagine what it's like to be productive. And I see myself getting out more to visit members, seeing what's going on in your life, seeing the growth for each of you spiritually. I imagine new members coming in and seeing the church growing and seeing our outreach efforts growing. I imagine what it's like to be productive, to see some results. Or as children, you might imagine what it's like to be making good use of your time. And it's usually having some freedom, isn't it? Freedom to do what we want to do without our parents always over our shoulder trying to tell us to do something different. It's not going to school or sitting in church necessarily that for kids that seems so productive, but it's having time to themselves to do what they want to do. Or as Christians, we might imagine what it's like to be productive. As Christians, we want to see ourselves in 2016 getting better at being Christians, don't we? Doing more, being more productive for God. We want to see results. And so when we imagine productivity, we don't usually imagine sitting and doing nothing. How many of you imagine productivity as looking basically like this. Pray. Praying seems like the most unproductive thing we could possibly be doing with our time, and that's why it's so hard for us to make time for. Even when we sit down to pray, or when we sit down in church, we're doing basically nothing. We have nothing to show for it. And yet, where is Jesus? Here is Jesus, who, even at age 12, already knows more than his teachers, who could be doing all sorts of things with his life, his wisdom, his growth, his intellect. He could be very productive already at age 12, but he's sitting and he's listening and he's learning. He's right where he is supposed to be, and you are too. Because seeing productivity in your life is not about the results you are looking for. It's about sitting and listening and learning in prayer, in church, in Sunday school, in Bible class, asking questions, and trying to grow as you listen to God's word. Jesus is right where he's supposed to be. Now imagine yourself as you do the same thing year after year. You come to church and you're right where you're supposed to be, aren't you? I mean, you're here because you're Christians, because you belong to the CLC, and some of you have traveled a distance to get here. And you're doing what you're supposed to be doing as good Christians. You're sitting in the pew and you're watching the pastor talk. But is there more to it than that? Is there more to it than just coming to church and going home on Sunday? Mary and Joseph were used to doing the same thing year after year. They come to Jerusalem, they go home. It's their custom. They come, they observe the feast, they go home. But then what? And all the while that they're doing what they're supposed to be doing every year, Jesus is doing something different. He is so captivated by God's word and what is going on in the temple that he doesn't leave. When Solomon prays for God to give him anything in the world, he prays for a hearing heart. And that is why observing the customs of the faith can never be enough. It's not enough unless God would grant us a hearing heart, a heart that receives God's word like Jesus does. There is Jesus doing exactly what he's supposed to be doing, more than just observing the custom. He is so enthralled by God's word that he has to learn more. And he's doing it all for you. Jesus didn't need to hear God's word. He didn't need to learn, but he humbled himself to be your Savior. And he's learning and he's growing just like you, so that when you hear of Jesus, you're learning and you're growing with him, which means you're right where you need to be too. We wonder where we're supposed to be. And 2016 is full of choices. As we look at the year ahead, it's going to be full of choices. We're going to be confronted with so many choices, we won't know what to do with them all. And some of the choices we make are going to be bad, and some are going to be good. And as we make the bad choices, or as we wonder about all the choices, it can lead to a bit of an identity crisis. This especially happens for college students. When you graduate high school and you get to college, you're confronted with a plethora of choices. There's so many choices. What major are you going to choose? What career are you going to follow? And you have basically no sense about what any of this is. And I remember facing all those choices, and you pick one thing, and then 3 years later, you switch it to something different, and then 5 years later, you decide, oh, I'm really supposed to become a pastor. So many choices. It can lead to an identity crisis where we wonder if we are really who we're supposed to be, if we're doing what we're supposed to be doing, if God wants something different from us. Mary and Joseph were right where they were supposed to be, even when they were seeking out Jesus. Jesus is lost, and they're wondering where their child is, and they're going back to Jerusalem. And you know how they feel? They feel upset, angry almost, because they're right where they're supposed to be. They are parents. They didn't have to look for what God wanted them to be doing. They knew it. They're supposed to be finding their son. They're anxious, they're worried, they're troubled. And so we find Mary and Joseph are where they're supposed to be, and Jesus is too. Because even though Jesus could spend day and night in the temple, learning, growing, serving God, even though he was an emerging adult, in that culture at age 12, you were already becoming an adult. When you reach age 12, 13, you're starting to choose your own career. You're starting to take on your own responsibility. And yet, what does he do? He returns back home with his parents. So there's both things going on. He's about his father's business, and he's about his father's business. He's torn between two worlds. He says, "Why did you seek me? Did you not know I must be about my father's business?" His father's business is to be the Son of God, to fulfill the messianic purpose, to be your Savior. He has no identity crisis about who he is. He knows he is God's chosen one to bring you salvation. And that's why he's at the temple. And that's why he follows his parents home. Which means you're right where you need to be too. Because your identity is not in what career you choose. It's not in how you're living your life. It's not in the choices you make this year. Your identity is in baptism, where God has chosen you to be his son and daughter. Where he has brought you all his gifts, his inheritance, his redemption. So you would see yourself not as a carpenter's son, but as God's son. And then you find a good reason to return home today. As you return home with Jesus. Right back into your vocation. You don't have to look for some greater career or some higher spiritual purpose for your life. The highest spiritual purpose is that you are a father, a wife, a son or a daughter, an employee or an employer. Luther would say, are you wondering if you are where you're supposed to be? Look at your station in life, and you'll find it all right there. It might be kind of mundane, but to God, it means everything. We're looking for the art of stress-free productivity. And yet, what is more productive than Jesus? And when we see Jesus, we see it's not about doing something, it's about hearing something. It's about praying, listening to God's word, recognizing your identity, and returning home with Jesus. If you're doing that in 2016, you're being more productive than you could ever imagine. In Jesus' name, amen.